We love a good victory. This summer's Olympics, we have cheered on many good victories. Women who seem to effortlessly leap and twist in the air and then land on firm ground. Three of our American women crossing the finish line first in the 110-meter hurdles. And an American woman, a Wisconsinite, winning the women's triathlon for the first time. Medal after medal after medal, story after story of overcoming challenges and succeeding at the highest level of competition in their sport. Victory for our team, victory for all of us who cheered them on. In our gospel reading today, we have familiar Luke territory and a big win for Jesus. It's the Sabbath, and Jesus is teaching. He meets a stranger who is suffering and heals her. He's then confronted by the leaders for healing on the Sabbath, and Jesus counters them, "You guys take care of your livestock on the Sabbath, no? Here I'm taking care of a God-fearing woman. How could you choose your animals over one of your sisters?" The opponents are defeated, and the crowd cheers at Jesus' victory. We have seen this pattern before. We've seen it so much that we wonder why the leaders cannot figure out what is going on. They keep missing out on what Jesus is doing. In the end, we're left with a company of the crowds cheering on our Jesus because we get it. We understand the point. What is the big deal about healing on the Sabbath? But a closer look at the passage and the setting of our other scripture readings today points not to the victor of the argument and we who cheer Jesus on, but to how God is revealed in the person in the shadow of the argument, the suffering and healed woman. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. A woman enters, turned in on herself, hunched over, who's been in pain nearly 2 decades. Her posture likely made her an easily recognized figure. Perhaps she was a fixture at the synagogue, coming in day after day, on Sabbath or a Tuesday, looking for healing. But today was different. Someone saw her. Someone looked at this disfigured woman and noticed. That someone was Jesus. He made 3 simple connections with her. He called her to come near. He touched her, and he spoke to her. 3 simple connections that set him apart from everyone else in the synagogue that day. 3 simple connections that set most of us apart from what Jesus had done. But ultimately, what set him apart was that his word was the word of God, the same one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 wonder-filled days, but rested on the 7th. The woman stands straight up. Before this moment in her life, her sight line was the ground, dirty feet and ankles. For 18 years, she could see rocks and dirt, but not the faces of her neighbors. But now, seeing the world upright for the first time in decades, she knows to whom to address her joy. Only God has the power to heal. But this woman's praise of God is interrupted by the leaders of the synagogue. They are indignant, Luke tells us, because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. They repeat their classic argument about the hours of operation. 6 days work ought to be done. If you are sick, come back on one of those days. We're closed today. The Pharisees were not only interrupted, but Jesus undermines their authority. Their religious practices have little power in light of Jesus' healing. But unlike the woman who receives Jesus' healing and begins to praise God, the Pharisees see what he's done and begin to argue. They pull out their defenses and get to work. But they get it all wrong. Honoring the Sabbath is less a matter of doing no work and more a matter of remembering why and for whom we work in the first place. Yes, the Sabbath marks the day that God rested from his work, and there is a parallel between God's work and our work, God's rest and our rest. But there is also a realignment that takes place on the Sabbath. There's a U-turn. In our Isaiah passage, God calls his people to pause from the constant pursuit of their own interests. Instead, offer food to the hungry, satisfy the needs of the afflicted, and so honor the Sabbath. God will then guide them, satisfy their needs, and make them strong. Out of gratefulness to God for these gifts, humans are called to rest. The words rest and be still are often used to translate a Hebrew word that is more complicated than what we think of with rest. I imagine rest to mean those quiet hours of mourning before the rush of the day begins, or in the evening when everything has calmed down. But these Hebrew words are more dramatic than that. It's a military term. What we often translate still and rest, imagine holding tightly to a sword and hearing God say, "Drop your weapons, open your fist, let go. Surrender to God whatever it is that you use to protect yourself. Rest your case." That is to honor the Sabbath. Now, as important as the Sabbath is to the covenant relationship between God and creation, and certainly our passage points to that today, the argument between Jesus and the Pharisees distracts us from what happens after the woman is healed. Her response to what Jesus did for her reveals the enormity of what is taking place. God is present in Jesus. This is the great interruption. Of course, we don't know what she said or what she did, but I wonder if her praise may have echoed our psalm today. The psalmist makes a dramatic turn towards God with her entire being. It mirrors what took place for the woman physically when she was able to stand upright again. We hear in the psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." But literally, the psalmist imagines her soul turned outside herself toward God. We hear, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," a second time, but the word soul in this case refers to her liver and kidneys and organs, the source of emotional and physical and spiritual life in the Hebrew language. Her entire being is praising God, the one who forgives where she falls short, the one who heals disease and redeems life out of death, the one who treats humans as if they were holy, crowning them with love and mercy and satisfying them with good. If we could have heard the praises of the woman Jesus healed, we may have heard that, as in the psalm, that the Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed, not just 6 days a week, but at all times and in all places. For it is this character that was present in Jesus, in his palms and all their fingerprints, as he called the stranger towards him, touched her, spoke to her, healed her. It is the presence of the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, who is sitting there in the synagogue. We love a good victory. We love to cheer on our team. But in an age like ours, when we're given a weak defense over a confession, when political leaders argue instead of do the hard work of compromise, when it's easy to give up on hope and become cynical, in an age like ours, what we need to hear is the woman in the shadow. Today's gospel points us away from winning the argument with the Pharisees and towards the once suffering woman, to join her praise of God, to let go of our defenses in a true Sabbath rest. Amen.